everybody. Welcome to episode 492 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. It's time for another Secret Wars Saturday. I'm going to be talking about Secret Wars 2, number 8, the penultimate issue of the series. It's from writer Jim Shooter. We've got pencils by Al Milgram, inks by Steve Lea Aloha, letters by Rosen and Parker, and colors by Christy Scheel. So this one is entitled Betrayal, and it's a real turning point in the story. With only one issue to go, the Beyonder really kind of loses it. He has pretty much decided that this reality to him just doesn't work. And we start seeing some consequences for that. And it especially plays out in the tie-ins for this issue, which I'll be talking about next week. So this one starts out, we've got the Beyonder visiting Owen Reese in Denver, and Owen's trying to calm him down, saying, take it easy. The Beyonder says, I can't take it easy. It's so frustrating, and I'm so angry that I want to destroy all of existence. And we see lightning emanating from that apartment and going out and destroying buildings in Denver, and going out from destroying the buildings in Denver, spreading further, destroying Rocky Mountains, actually heading up into space itself and destroying satellites, and then hitting the moon and breaking the moon in half, and continuing on this path out through the galaxy and the universe and destroying and upsetting things all along the way. And Owen's telling, well, you know, it's good to vent these pent-up feelings, but I think you're getting a little carried away. And the Beyonder's kind of continuing his tantrum, saying he doesn't care. Owen again tells him to try to relax. And the Beyonder says, you know, I'm fed up with this place. Ever since I discovered this stupid multiverse, I can't be happy. I can't stand it here. And Owen's like, let's talk about it. Let's just talk about it. And then the scene shifts to the apartment of Owen Reese and Marsha Rosenberg of Volcana. And Marsha's coming out of the kitchen. Is it Marsha? Yeah, Marsha. She's coming out of the kitchen. She's asking what happened. And Owen's like, oh, the Beyonder just let loose a little energy. It's fine. He's just blowing off steam. And he distracts the Beyonder, turns him away from the path of destruction. And Owen reaches out with his own powers and starts undoing all the things that the Beyonder did. And everything he destroyed is restored. So Owen's telling him, hey, I'm your friend. Trust me. Relax. Sit down. Let's take it from the top. And the Beyonder says, okay, I guess. Meanwhile, Marsha's asking if she can speak to Owen for a minute, and they're whispering like, hey, you know, be careful, he's dangerous. And Owen's trying to reassure her, everything's going to be okay. Remember, I was in therapy for a long time, and I know just what to do. Marsha's like, yeah, but I can't stand the thought of anything happening to you. You know, I love you so much. And he's like, don't worry, We've got a chance here. There's still going to be a world left for us to live in, but you better kind of make yourself scarce and let us talk. So Marsha goes off, and Owen says, "Okay, you're telling me you're frustrated about your role in the universe," but the Beyonder says, "No, it's more than that. The whole existence of this multiverse is becoming a frustration." And I think I'd be happier if I just destroyed the universe, the multiverse, and I'd be alone again. And Owen Reese tells him, well, that seems like a little extreme. Usually whenever I get frustrated, I like to talk to my therapist about my childhood. The Beyonder said, but I never had a childhood. And Molecule Man says, yeah, but we can still go back and look at where you came from and try to understand. And so they rematerialize in the Beyonder's dimension, but there's nothing there, right? Without him, because he was the sum of everything in that place, when he's not there, it isn't even really a place. And so Owen's trying to get an understanding of what it looked like when he was there. And he's like, well, it really wasn't that different, but I mean, I was here, but I wasn't like a person. I didn't necessarily have awareness. I had no form. So, you know, it's hard to say. I don't really remember much before I left. And so Owen starts asking about the event that happened that created that pinhole that allowed him to view our multiverse. And what was that like? And the Beyonder waves his hand and says, I'll show you exactly what it was like. And he recreates it. And so Owen is curious, and he goes over and looks in it. And because the Beyonder has recreated it down to the last photon, and it's basically existing again, Owen's able to look through it and find out what caused it. And what he sees is himself. He sees himself at the moment of the atomic accident that made him the Molecule Man. And he's like, I'm the cause. This is all my fault. And the Beyonder says, what do you mean that you're responsible for the, for him existing, that you created me? And Owen says, no, I don't mean that. I mean, you observed Earth through the pinhole, and that happened when I was created. So in a way, that happening to me is also responsible for, you know, all subsequent events with you. And then Owen tells him, why don't you lay down again, and we'll continue to retrace your steps on Earth. So they then appear at the time, and again, they're disembodied, they're ghosts, they're just observing, and they show up at a place in the Beyonder's mansion, basically, a few weeks after he was on Earth and had assumed human form. And Owen's saying, okay, so tell me about this part of your life. And the Beyonder says, well, I was pretty bored. I learned that humans want things like money, power, and they try to acquire them. So I thought, well, I'll do that too, and hopefully it'll bring me some kind of fulfillment. And it had gotten to the point where he'd taken over the whole world, which is, I think we saw that in issue 3 of Secret Wars 2. And he said, yeah, but I wasn't happy. I was still bored. And I eventually released everybody. And so then the Beyonder, or the Molecule Man, says, well, then you tried to find love, right? And the scene shifts to the mountaintop when the Beyonder was trying to convince Alice and Blair that they should have a relationship. And he said, yeah, you know, I tried love. And again, this happened previously in the Secret Wars 2 series, issue 4, the love issue, as we call it. And the Beyonder said, yeah, but she rejected me. I learned that love has to be given and reciprocated. It can't just be taken. And, I gave her everything. I offered everything to her. I even gave her half my power, but she rejected me. And Molecule Man tells him, yeah, but that's the very thing that makes true love special, right? Because it can only be given. It can't, barter for it or extort it or seize it. And this is not something the Beyonder wants to talk about. He's like, I don't care. I don't care about love anymore. I don't care about her anymore. Who cares what some stupid mortal female feels? Doesn't make sense. I don't want to talk about it. So despite him saying that, it might be the one thing that he still does care about. But they continue on their journey. They see Doctor Strange trying to explain his path to fulfillment to the Beyonder, to see if he can find out, if he can follow the same path and find out how he is to be fulfilled. But the advice that Doctor Strange gave about the Beyonder discovering his role in the universe, the Beyonder says, well, that was baloney too. There is no role. I tried to be a hero. I tried to find my role in things, being a cosmic being, and that didn't work either. And then I tried to fill the role of helping others find their role, and we see the scene shift to the disco, or the club, the nightclub, whatever you want to call it, where Puma was trying to fulfill his role in the universe by destroying the Beyonder. And that didn't work out either, because he was unable to destroy the Beyonder. And so that's gotten to the point where the Beyonder's had enough, right? He wants to give up. And so they return to the apartment of Owen, and Marcia's there, happy to see that everything's fine, supposedly, and Owen's back. And as the Beyonder is observing them, and hears Owen say, yeah, we were just bopping around the time stream, observing the past. Everything's fine. The Beyonder's like, fine, fine. Everything stinks. Everything's rotten. And if everything's rotten for me, nothing is fine for anyone else. And Owen's trying to convince him, hey, be reasonable. Just because you haven't found fulfillment doesn't mean that you need to, you know, take it out on everybody else, basically. The Beyonder goes on to say, there's no such thing as fulfillment, not as long as anything exists besides me. And so, again, Owen tries to tell him, well, I'm fulfilled, I'm happy, and the Beyonder's not buying it, right? And he's like, you and every other creature here are merely parts of the whole, and this universe is too chaotic, nothing's complete, there's not one thing here for me as long as there are other things. Incompleteness, it's the root. It's this insidious thing, desire. It's plagued this multiverse and me since I learned of it. But I can fix that by getting rid of everything. The only thing will be me, and I'll be completely happy and fulfilled, just like I was back in my own realm before the event. And Owen's like, yeah, but you said you didn't even really remember what it was like before the event. And the Beyonder doesn't want to hear that logical argument. And again, Owen's like, listen to me. I think the problem is you haven't really tried being part of the multiverse. You've taken human form, but you're not really human. So you're so infinite, so nothing means anything to you. Maybe you need to let yourself become mortal. And the Beyonder's not buying it. He's like, yeah, vulnerable? Sure. No force in existence could possibly destroy me without my consent currently. But you have me voluntarily turn into a human. So why? So you can kill me? And Owen's like, no. The Beyonder's like, you know what? You're probably too much of a wimp to try, but you are afraid of me, afraid I'll destroy this multiverse. So you don't have fulfillment any more than I do. You're just playing a stupid game with that cow, he calls Marcia, and you're just doing it to amuse yourself. But it's over. I'm going to destroy all of existence, starting with you. And Owen's like, no, Beyonder, please, just give it some time. Think it over. And the Beyonder eventually relents and said, okay, I'll give it 24 hours. We'll see what happens. And he disappears. He reappears in a San Francisco luxury hotel. He asks for a room, of which, sorry, the best room is taken. But, of course, he uses his powers on the concierge. And then all his luggage appears. And he has the best room. He walks out front. His Ferrari appears. He drives off. He goes out to dinner. He charms a waitress there, brings her back to his hotel, and soon he's standing out on the balcony, and she's asking if there's anything wrong. He's saying, no, I'm fine. And, you know, being that the Beyonder, forced her to desire him and to love him, she's pretty clingy, and she doesn't really understand. She's like, I just don't understand why... Why you're here with me. I'm not pretty enough to deserve you, but is there some way I can comfort you? Beyonder says, there's nothing wrong with you, but you're under my power, and maybe I adjusted your mind more than I thought. And her response is, I'm completely yours. I don't care why. And the Beyonder, again, out of frustration, everything is mine if I choose, and whatever doesn't is history. This city, for example, and he causes an earthquake, which isn't the best thing to do in San Francisco. It's pretty unstable. And the Beyonder seems to take a little pleasure in that. He's like, look at all those people running for their lives. And the Beyonder waves his hand, stops the earthquake. And the girl he's with, Julia, says, you stopped it. And he said, yeah, there's nothing I can't do. But I can't find anything that means anything to me. Why does life mean so much to humans? Why do they cling so desperately to their lives? And she says, I don't know. Maybe it's because time is short, right? So that means every moment is precious. So again, someone's telling the Beyonder the reason that he doesn't understand is because he's not mortal. Things don't matter to him because he has so much power. Because he is immortal. So how can anything have a meaning when, you know, it's kind of like, I've been there, done that. I mean, he's done a lot and experienced a lot in a very relatively short period of time since he's been on Earth. So he does tell Julia, though, you know, I'm sick of hearing about the supposed value of mortality. It makes me angry. And if death holds such a fascination, let me hasten yours. And he makes Julia old. And then apparently he relents and returns her to her natural state. And she says, oh, I'm back the way I was before. Thank you. He says, don't mention it. All you did was answer me. And besides, your end and the rest of creation's end will come soon enough. I might as well let you have your last few hours. So again, Beyonder is nothing more at this point than just a petulant child. So the Beyonder tells Julia, well, you better go now. But because Julia is enthralled by the Beyonder, she's like, I'd rather stay. The Beyonder says, no, I sense trouble on the way. Go. And he goes to the roof saying, there's no sense in letting them mess up my rooms. And then the X-Men attack and he repels them, you know, relatively easily, despite all their abilities, especially the ability of the Phoenix, Rachel Summers, the Phoenix Force, basically, and even unleashing a lot of her power, which damages the city, does nothing. And the Beyonder says, Rachel, 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 perhaps at one point, if I deliberately left myself wide open, you might have been able to destroy me. But the truth is, you never really stood a chance. But you are sophisticated enough to realize that. So why this kamikaze run? And Rachel says, you forced the confrontation when we saw you attacking the city. You know, you started that earthquake. So Beyonder says, good grief, I did, didn't I? Why did I come here of all places and take a chance, however small? I've got to think about this. And he disappears. Meanwhile, Owen Reese has been observing everything because he's worried that the Beyonder is going to hold true to his statement about destroying all of the multiverse within 24 hours. And him and Marcia are very worried. And Marcia tells him, well, there must be something we can do. And Owen says, well, maybe you're right. I can't match the Beyonder's power, but maybe I can protect us from him. Let me use every bit of energy I can muster and create a shield. So he creates a shield around Denver, both above ground and below ground. And he's hoping that that will be able to keep the Beyonder from destroying at least their little pocket, their little paradise, as Owen has come to look at his city and apartment and life with Marcia. And just then, the Beyonder appears above Denver and says, is he serious? I'm glad I happened to be passing this way. What a laugh. And then he tells Owen, sorry to burst your bubble, but if I want in, there's nothing that can stop me. And he destroys the shield with just a wave of his hand. And Owen's discouraged. He's like, he broke it so easily. I don't know what we're going to do. Again, he's starting to get pretty worked up himself, the Molecule Man, because he's worried the Beyonder is going to follow through with his threat. So meanwhile, the Beyonder's heading out to the Southwest Desert. He wants to talk to the Hulk. And the Hulk actually ambushes him from behind, saying, Hulk heard you, little man. Hulk comes not to talk, but to kill you. And just starts beating on the Beyonder, which, of course, has no effect. And the Beyonder says, okay, that's enough beating on me, waves his hand, levitates the Hulk off the ground. I'm convinced you've gotten more vicious, and I'm curious to know why. When I last saw you, you were in your Bruce Banner persona at the crossroads of the dimensions. You were considering suicide. So I found the desire for self-preservation especially mysterious, so that was interesting to me that you were contemplating suicide, and I want to learn more. That was my purpose in coming to find you and study you. I wanted to understand the Banner side of your brain. And as he looks inside the Hulk's mind, he sees that the Banner side is gone. He says, there is no Banner persona. Somehow you've been separated from Banner. So no wonder you're more vicious now. You're nothing more than a raging power personified. Infinite power with no finite element inside. And this goes on to tie in with The Incredible Hulk 13, which at that point, Banner and the Hulk had indeed been separated. So the Banner says, wow, that's ugly. You know, infinite power with nothing finite inside to control it. And that makes the Beyonder realize something. He says, well, that's ugly, and it reminds me of someone. All right, Hulk, you can go. And he releases the Hulk. So that's a little self-reflection for the Beyonder right there, right? Infinite power with nothing finite inside to kind of control it and give it perspective. And he finds that to be ugly. So you can almost think of it, if we want to continue with that petulant child analogy, you can think of it as a child who won't behave, who always wants to have his way, and is completely enthralled and self-involved. When the tables are turned and that child is denied something or treated poorly by someone else with that same kind of perspective, or he sees another person acting like that, it's kind of a reflection, right? It gives some perspective and you realize, oh, that's what I've been doing. And it's not, you know, it's not a pretty sight. So meanwhile, back at the apartment of Owen Reese, he's still trying to gather up all the free energy in the multiverse to see if it'll be enough. He's convinced there's no way, even after gathering all this free energy, that he can make the dome strong enough. So he just doesn't know what to do. He's feeling really scared. And meanwhile, the Beyonder continues his journey, trying to gain some perspective and gain some insight and knowledge to make his final decision about the universe. So he tracks down Spider-Man, who's been somebody that he's observed for a while. And he knocks on the door, and Spider-Man's apartment is still damaged from the recent fire. But the Beyonder is invited in, and Spider-Man says, sorry, I can't let you use the bathroom this time. It's been kind of destroyed. Beyonder said, no, that's not why I came here. I just came to talk. Spider-Man says, with me? Beyonder says, well, why not? I like you better than anyone I've met. You're unique. You have power greater than you know, and you've played a critical role in recent history of the multiverse, and yet you're so human. You have a passion for life and a fascination with death, like many humans do, so explain. And Spider-Man says, I don't know if I can. Just recently myself, I was web swinging along, and by pure luck, I came across some guy who was trying to end it all by jumping off a building. And as I reached him, he reached out to me. So that's weird, right? Like right in the middle of committing suicide, there was this guy that, like, as he was in the act of welcoming death, instead reached out and tried to survive. It's almost an instinct. I knew exactly how he felt, right? When the end is rushing toward you, it's when you know you're really alive. And you see that type of situation comes up a lot when you're a superhero. Actually, everybody, for every minute, you know, you can die at any moment. You can get run over by a car. You could have some kind of accident. So when you're confronting death, that's when you feel the most alive. And the Beyonder's like, again, I hear about this human endeavor, and human existence is lent meaning by, you know, the finiteness of life. And Spider-Man's like, yeah, I guess it's what makes you realize every moment is special, because there aren't that many. You can almost think of it as supply and demand, if you want to reduce it to its most like basic element, right? Like, if life lasted forever, then each particular part of it would mean less, because you'd have time to eventually do everything. But then that's kind of what the Beyonder's problem is. And he's telling Peter, I'm sick of hearing this as the answer. And Peter says, yeah, did I say something wrong? You look angry. And he tries to apologize. And the Beyonder says, no, you irritate me, Parker. All of you smug, mortal insects irritate me. You better shut up while you're ahead. As it stands, you may have talked me out of obliterating existence, but we'll see. Don't push your luck. Then the Beyonder steps outside. He gets attacked by the New Mutants. And he says, let me guess, Phoenix telepathically sensed me here in New York and sent you after me, the X-Men's brat squad. But get out of here, you rugrats. And he basically waves them off with his hand. Like, I got some thinking to do. If you try to follow me, I'll turn you into little mutant potatoes. So meanwhile, back at the apartment, Owen is packing. And Marshall's like, what are you doing? He's like, I have a plan. We'll just pack up everything and we'll move to the Beyonder's realm. I'll create a very small, cozy force sphere there, just big enough for the two of us. Sure, he could break the dome here, but if it's a smaller one and I concentrate, he probably won't be able to break it. He may not even be able to find us. Let me just, you know, pack everything. And Marshall's like, wait, stop packing. Listen to yourself. Running's no good. He'll find us sooner or later. We have to find a way to take a stand here. Show some guts for a change. And Owen's like, you want me to fight? Marsh says, yes, you have to. You have to, Owen. And then thinks to herself, and if the worst happens, I'll do what I have to do, no matter how much it hurts you. So the Beyonder's atop a isolated peak in the Andes. And he's thinking about whether or not he should destroy reality. And he's like, you know, maybe I should go apologize to Owen. And maybe he'll help me give this reality business a try. Like one more try. Like maybe with all these people telling me I need to be mortal in order to understand, that maybe that's what I need to do. So as the deadline approaches for the 24 hours, Owen's getting more and more nervous. And Marsha's reminding him, you need to fight back. And this is the only way. We've got to take a stand. And suddenly the Beyonder appears and Molecule Man just lets loose with all his power. And Marsha's kind of egging him on, saying, harder, we've got to destroy him to live. And the Beyonder's like, wait a minute, jerk, I came to. And Molecule Man says, die. I'm not going to let you hurt us. I'll kill you. Die, you monster. And he unleashes all his energy, and the Beyonder says, yeah, not bad. Nice try. That last shot could have killed a billion entire dimensions, but thanks for showing your true colors right when I walked in. If you hadn't, I might have made a terrible mistake and made myself human and given humanity a chance, but now I'm going to destroy it just to get back at you. And Marsha then jumps in front of Owen and says, no. Kill him if you want, but not me, please. I don't want to die. I'll do anything for you. I beg you. And Owen's like, Marsha, no. Like, what are you? Marsha says, I'm not yours. You can't make me happy, Owen. I never really loved you. You're just a worm. You're nothing compared to the Beyonder. And she again tells the Beyonder, take me to live with you. And the Beyonder kicks her away. Get away from me, you grotesque cow. And Marsha says, sure, I'll go. Let me go. But he's your enemy. Kill him, not me. And she runs off. And the Molecule Man is distraught. No, he curls up in a little ball on the floor. And the Beyonder says, get up. There's not much left of you without her, is there? Not that there ever was that much. Is this the price you pay to be mortal? Someone you love so much can be mean and leave you as nothing, so much so that you collapse without her. Maybe I will stay and watch this. Maybe I won't destroy reality. 'Cause now all of a sudden you've cheered me up considerably. So let me take one last look around before I erase the multiverse, and you'll be able to suffer in the meantime. So yeah, again, petulant child, kid with a magnifying glass, burning ants, enjoying their pain. And the Beyonder leaves with this final thought: when I run out of things that interest me in a few days, you'll be the first to know. Until then, just go ahead and lie there and whimper. And we see Marcia downstairs getting in her car, crying, saying, Owen, hurting you was way worse for me than it was for you. I didn't want to hurt you, but I had to. I couldn't think of what else we could have done. He would have killed you, but now he's not jealous of our relationship anymore, and maybe now he'll leave you alone. Let somebody else fight him, the Avengers, the Fantastic Four. But of course, if Owen couldn't stop him, then who can, right? So later, above the Rocky Mountains, the Beyonder's thinking that not much has changed. Owen's still a veg, he calls him, a vegetable. And he didn't realize that Marshall was play acting to save his life. The irony is nice. So that's interesting that the Beyonder knew all along that Marcia didn't really mean those things she was saying. But it all still angers him. He's still frustrated with life. And in the meantime, he's gone to see the New Mutants, which I'll talk about next week in the tie-ins episode, as well as played a game of chance, I guess you'd say, or had a bet that ran its course with Mephisto about Spider-Man. But now the time has come to start gathering his energy to wipe out all the multiverse. And as he sits on a mountaintop and starts gathering this energy, the residual of it's causing a storm, but it's also allowed the Avengers to track the Beyonder down. They could just trace this huge amount of energy that's starting to grow. And so they do go and confront him, with Captain America saying that this casual release of energy could level half the state. What do you think you're doing? And the Beyonder's response is, don't bother me with your petty concerns, Captain America. I don't have the patience to listen to you or anyone else in this crummy multiverse. And he fires a cyclone, basically, out of his hand that manages to capture all the Avengers except for Captain America, who jumps out of the way. So Hercules, Black Knight, Captain Marvel, Submariner, and their Quinjet are all caught up in the cyclone and carried away. Captain America, as I said, managed to jump out of the way, so the Beyonder starts growing to a huge size and picks up Captain America like a rag doll and says, so you're available to avoid my energy tornado, huh? You really think you're special, Cap, don't you? The cream of the human crop. Well, maybe I'll take you along with me. You know, you alone may provide me with some final insight on a soon-to-be-extinct species. And that's where the issue ends, on somewhat of a cliffhanger. So, as I mentioned, the tie-ins for issue 8 will be New Mutants 37, Amazing Spider-Man 274, which actually take place before this this kind of fight with the Avengers. And then we also see the aftermath of the Avengers being caught in that energy cyclone in Avengers 256. And then we've got a tie-in with the X-Men in 203. I'm also going to talk about X-Men 202, which technically tied in with 7, but I just felt it made more sense to talk about it here, because 202 leads into 203 so seamlessly, I guess you'd say. And then in Fantastic Four 288, we find out how Doom was alive at the beginning of Secret Wars in the first place, because previously, as far as everyone knew, his entire body had been disintegrated and Doom was dead. And then, you know, he showed up in the first Secret Wars series. So we get the explanation for that coming up as well. So, again, I think this issue really shows the Beyonder as a spoiled child. You know, he has the ability to have anything his heart desires, so to speak. But, again, that's part of the problem, right? I know it's a cliche, but there's so many people that talk about the meaning of life being the journey and not the destination. And there's really so much to that when you think about it in terms of somebody who's omniscient, right? Omnipotent, who can have anything just by imagining it, just by thinking about it, and have an infinite time to enjoy it, right? It's about the journey. And for the beyonder, he just doesn't get it. He just doesn't understand, because he can have anything at any time, and his existence is infinite, you know, without beginning or end. Then how can any one event or object or whatever, how can it matter, right? I mean, it would seem to get boring. And for the beyonder, he's looking for that brass ring. He's looking for that one event or purpose or object or person that's going to make him feel happiness, that's going to make him fulfilled. And he's so focused on that end, on that prize, that he can't understand that the real meaning in life, the real meaningful moments are the journey, are trying to attain something. And we see it ourselves in our own lives, right? Like, we can think, okay, I have this goal and this is what I want to accomplish. And we can be focused on it so single-mindedly and say, you know, once I get this, I'm going to be fulfilled. I'm going to be happy. And that may be the case momentarily, but then, as is human nature, then there's a new goal. There's a new focus. There's, you know, something else that we're going to want to attain. We don't stagnate. And again, it has to do with the fact that for us, time is linear, and you've got to keep moving forward. Otherwise, you're going to fall in the same trap of the beyonder, right? And start feeling like, what's the point? And then depression and despondency sets in, and you know, you just stop caring, because what's the point? What's the point if you stop learning, stop evolving, stop moving forward through time? But time has no meaning for the beyonder, because he's always existed. So you really would have thought he would have learned this lesson a lot sooner, because I think back to the tie-in for the ROM issue. I think it was ROM 73, where the beyonder met Brandi Clark, Starshine, Rick Jones, and the young girl Cindy, who had a wraith living in her mind, basically a wraith's consciousness inside of her, and her parents had been killed by the dire wraiths, and the beyonder fulfilled each one of their wishes, and then was surprised when they weren't completely fulfilled and content, and instead then had kind of new wishes, right? And he's like, well, I just granted you these wishes, and you weren't even satisfied for, you know, a day, and you already wanted more. Again, it's human nature. It's not greed necessarily. It's just, okay, we put goals ahead of ourselves to accomplish, and then when we accomplish those goals, then we create new goals for ourselves, right? It's a way to keep moving forward and keep growing and keep learning. And I think that has a lot to do with it, like curiosity as a species, right? Curiosity to accumulate knowledge and answer questions, but also curiosity about ourselves and what we're each individually capable of. And the beyonder has just missed out on that. And part of it has to do with his omniscience and his immortality. But I think another part of it has to do with just a lack of understanding, because he's so focused on that final destination rather than the struggle to get there. You know, really, he should be reveling in the experience of this journey of him trying to find meaning, right? And we do see it to some extent. We saw it more early on, but now we're seeing a lot of frustration from him currently, because he feels that he hasn't found that prize, and he should have by now, which I suppose makes sense when you think about the nature of his being, right? Like he can have everything else with a snap of a finger, so it doesn't exactly teach patience. So the one thing that he wants the most, which is fulfillment and happiness, it can't be supplied instantaneously. And so he's gotten frustrated that he's tried these different things and none of them have given him what he wants. And so you should keep on trying, Beyonder, keep on trying and enjoy the experience, enjoy the different ways you're seeking fulfillment. And that might be what a wiser being would do. But again, the Beyonder hasn't been taught wisdom. He doesn't have enough life experience to have gained that wisdom. And you wonder if he ever can, again, just based on the nature of his being and the fact that he'll never struggle for anything tangible in the universe because he can snap his fingers and have it. And he'll never struggle with not having the time or enough time to accomplish a certain goal because, again, he's immortal. So it's almost a catch-22. It's almost a paradox in a way. Think of the Beyonder as a very paradoxical being. So when you think about it in terms of that, it does make an interesting story. But as we've talked about all along, there's great ideas and foundation to be explored here in Secret Wars 2, but the execution was so ham-handed that and it was so choppy and it was really on the reader to kind of put meaning behind this stuff. So it would be very interesting to see somebody who's a very cerebral creator redo this story with kind of the sensibilities of now and the change in storytelling sensibilities for comics. I think it would end up having to be a longer series, but things would be spelled out a little more. It wouldn't be quite so black and white and simplistic. Because I think now the publishers and the writers and the creatives behind comics realize that the audience has gotten a lot more sophisticated. And you can't get away with the simplistic type of storytelling that's in Secret Wars 2. So yeah, that would be an interesting experiment to be sure. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us as always. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.